is on page 17. Now, this is going to be our main passage, but I'm also going to go back and read some from chapters 12, 15, 17, and 18. And those are going to be up on the screen. And also, there's an extra handout in your bulletin with those on there as well. But if you'd like to follow along in the Church Bible, chapter 12 starts on page 10. Well, I believe the goal of Moses writing about God's promises to Abraham and Sarah and showing God's fulfillment of these promises was to encourage the Israelites. If they were to get discouraged by some of the hardships they endured, reading or hearing this story would have encouraged the Israelites to rejoice in the Lord's faithfulness and miracle-working power. And we as the church, and also as individual Christians, can find encouragement in this story as well. Whenever we're facing uncertainty or hardship, we can also rest assured that God is faithful. He will get us to where He needs us to be. Before we go any further, would you pray with me? Father, you are the God Almighty, the one true God, the God that has all power and all knowledge, that handles all situations, Father. No matter how impossible they may seem to us, you are in control. Father, we pray that you open our hearts and minds this morning as we go through the story of your fulfillment of your promise to Abraham. We pray that we learn what you're trying to teach us as a church and what you're trying to show us individually and how this applies to our lives, how we can count on you to be faithful and keep your promises. Father, we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So back in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, we were told that Sarah was barren, that she couldn't have children. Now this is important information as we look at God's promises to Abraham. In chapter 12, God called Abraham out of idolatry when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. So God spoke to Abraham and told him what he would do for him and what he would do through him if he trusted and obeyed. And that's what Abraham did. He trusted God. He left his homeland. And he kept traveling until he got to where God needed him to be. Then in chapter 15, Abraham complained to God because he'd not given him an heir and that he would have to adopt his servant to be his heir, which was a common practice at that time. But God assured Abraham that he would have a son. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir. The one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So God not only promised Abraham a son, He promised him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And Abraham trusted the Lord. And in chapter 17, God again promises Abraham a son. But this time he tells him where his son will come from. Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah will be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who was 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant after his descendants after him." So God promised Abraham that his wife Sarah, who was barren, would give him a son. And we saw Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Well, I don't believe that Abraham's laughter was out of disbelief, because he fell on his face out of reverence to God. And also, God didn't correct him on it. I believe Abraham laughed because his belief was being pushed to its limits, knowing that Sarah was barren and that they were both old. It isn't that he didn't believe, it was just getting harder for him at that point. And then finally, in chapter 18, God is speaking to Abraham again. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "There in the tent." He said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become so old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord?' At the appointed time I will return to you, at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." So once again, God promised Abraham that Sarah would bear him a son. And this was the first time Sarah heard that she was going to have a child. And she laughed out of unbelief. That's why God questioned her. She didn't think there was any way that they would have a son because they were both so old. So we've looked at four times when God made promises to Abraham. So now in our main passage, we're going to see God fulfilling his promise. So let's read through Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Sarah carried the burden of being childless for many years. And that was a heavy burden in that culture at that time. But now they were rejoicing at the arrival of their son. But the birth of Isaac meant much more than the joy of being parents. The birth of Isaac meant, number one, the fulfillment of God's promise. When God called Abraham, he promised to make him a great nation that would bless the whole world. And God promised that he would greatly multiply Abraham's descendants. And God also promised that Sarah would be the mother of Abraham's son. we see God fulfilling these promises in verses 1 and 2, which say, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him." So God promised twice that Sarah would have a son, once in chapter 17 and once in chapter 18. And in verse 1, the fulfillment of these promises is mentioned twice. It said, "The Lord took note of Sarah, and the Lord did for Sarah." And then three times in these verses, Moses reminds his readers that this was the fulfillment of God's promise, as he had said, as he had promised, and at the time of which God had spoken. So the birth of Isaac reminds us that God keeps his promises. He keeps them in his way and in his time. God didn't fulfill his promise because Abraham and Sarah were perfect. They'd failed a few times, but they believed God, and God honored their faith. We're no different. We fail just like Abraham and Sarah did. But as long as you remain faithful, God can still use you for his purposes. R.O. Bleckman is one of the most famous illustrators in the world. In his book, Dear James, Letters to a Young Illustrator, he shares a series of letters that he wrote to a younger fellow illustrator. One of the most poignant letters, Bleckman addresses the reality of failure. Preliminary drawings and sketches often are discouraging things, pale shadows of one's bold intentions. Seemingly nonsense, they're especially dispiriting for beginners. "Is that what I did?" the novice might ask. "And I consider myself an artist?" Speaking for myself, but also for other illustrators, I'm sure, my trash basket is full of false starts and failed drawings. There should be a museum of failed art. It would exhibit all the terrible art that would have ended up in trash bins and garbage cans, lost and unknown to the public life. Surprisingly, the Bible contains a museum of failed discipleship. Over and over again, the Gospels record the false starts and spiritual failures of the disciples. Thankfully, they also record Christ's willingness to encourage and challenge his flawed disciples. We tend to cover up our hero's faults, and we're even more likely to gloss over our colossal flops. Instead, the Gospels allow us to see the disciples' failures, and most of these stories came from the disciples themselves. This honesty provides encouragement to us when we feel like saying, "Is that what I did? And I consider myself a Christian?" Our security is in Christ, who continues to love us even when we stumble and fail. We're not perfect. We're going to fail sometimes. But if we keep trusting in God, put our faith in Christ, then he'll get us where he needs us to be. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 11, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place that he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." How you respond to God's promises, that determines what God will do in your life. The second thing we see is that Isaac's birth meant the rewarding of patience. Genesis chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So again, we see Abraham obeying God. God had said, you should call his name Isaac, and Abraham named his son Isaac. And by the way, the name Isaac means he laughs. God also said that every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised. And Abraham circumcised Isaac when he was 8 days old. And verse 5 points out that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. See, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for their son to be born, because it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. That's why the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Trusting God's promises not only gives us a blessing at the end, it gives us a blessing while we're waiting. Just as athletes develop their skill as they continually practice between events, God's children grow in patience and faith as they wait for God to fulfill his promises. When God wants to develop our patience, he allows us to go through trials. He allows us to go through hardship, and he tells us to trust him. And that's what James is referring to in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, when he said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God allows trials and hardships into our lives to help us develop patience. In his article titled Fruit of the Spirit is Patience, John Hoffman wrote, a young father in a supermarket was pushing a shopping cart with his little son who was strapped in the front. The little boy was irritable. He was fussing. He was crying. Now, the other shoppers gave the pair a wide berth because the child would pull cans off the shelf and he would throw some out of the cart. The father seemed to be very calm. As he continued down each aisle, he murmured gently, easy now, Donald. Keep calm, Donald. Steady, boy. It's all right, Donald. A mother who was passing by was greatly impressed by this young father's solicitous attitude. She said, you certainly know how to talk to an upset child quietly and gently. And then bending down to the little boy, she said, what seems to be the trouble, Donald? Oh, no, said the father. He's Henry. I'm Donald. And the third thing Isaac's birth meant is the revelation of God's power. Genesis chapter 21, verses 5 through 7. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. God had turned Sarah's laughter of unbelief into laughter of joy. You know, one of the reasons God waited so long to give Abraham and Sarah a son is because he wanted them to be so old there was absolutely no way they could possibly have children. And that way there'd be no mistaking that Isaac's birth was a miracle from God. And Paul refers to this in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through 21, when he said, "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform." Abraham never swayed in his faith. He never doubted God. Abraham and Sarah experienced God's resurrection power in their lives because they submitted to him. They believed his word. Faith in God's promises releases God's power. And that's what Paul was explaining to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, when he said, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And then finally, Isaac's birth was a step forward in number four, the accomplishing of God's purpose. So the future redemption of a lost world rested on the birth of Isaac. In a dispute with the Jews, Jesus said to them in John chapter 8, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So Jesus is referring to Isaac's birth. He's referring to the laughter that it brought about. How did Abraham see Jesus' day in Isaac's birth? Well, Isaac's birth was the fulfillment of God's covenant promise to Abraham that he would have a child with Sarah. But God's promise was for a lot more than a child. Remember, God promised to make Abraham the father of a multitude of nations. This promise was initially fulfilled in the birth of Isaac, but its total fulfillment extends far beyond Isaac. See, Isaac became the father of Jacob. Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And from Israel, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be born. In Acts chapter 2, we see the New Testament church being born. In verse 38, Peter was preaching to the Jewish crowd. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So after Peter preached this message, there were more than 3,000 people who repented of their sins, gave their lives to Christ, and were baptized. And the church just kept growing from there. Verse 47 says, "The Lord was adding to the number day by day those who were being saved." And later, when Paul and Barnabas preached to the Gentiles in Antioch, they recalled their mission in Acts chapter 13, verses 47 and 48, which says, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, they may bring you salvation to the end of the earth, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many had been appointed to eternal life, believed. All this happened because of the birth of Isaac. The Jews were being saved. The Gentiles were being saved. And Isaac was born through God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promise to Abraham. It was through the birth of Isaac that God fulfilled his promise to bring the Messiah, his son, Jesus Christ. And God promises that anyone who repents, that is, turns away from their sinful lifestyle, gives their life to Jesus Christ, that person will have their sins forgiven. That person will spend eternity in heaven with God the Father. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. We're not saved by making promises to God. I'll do this, I'll do that, I won't do this, I won't do that. We're saved by believing God's promises to us. And that's why John said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder of just how faithful you are. You can make what seems impossible happen if we just keep our trust in you, if we don't waver in our faith, if we're obedient in our lifestyles, Father. It's just humbling to think that you, the creator of the universe, can use us for your purposes. We just thank you for loving us the way you do.